Dave Leventhal, Washington Insider, is joining us on the WBEN TroCare College Lifeline this morning. Dave, more and more outlets are reporting this morning that Republicans have won the House, which would appear to be a trifecta for President-elect Trump. What does all of it mean?
Absolutely. And, still some races to call, and we don't exactly have the numbers yet, but it does appear that it is trending in the direction of the Republicans. And as you just noted, if it ultimately does, it is going to mean a trifecta, although in the U.S. House, it's likely going to be exactly what it was this time around for Republicans, which is a majority of only maybe 2, 3, 4 seats when it all comes down to it. Also, too, there's a fascinating wrinkle of how many people Donald Trump is going to place from the Republican House into his administration. We already know that there's a couple of people who he's very much got lined up for administration positions, Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman from New York State, being at the top of that list. So that means that there are going to be potentially some open seats there. So don't write home about the final math just yet, given the fact that there are still some balls up in the air, both in terms of elections to be called and also to numbers to be taken off the board.
Yeah, what's the calculation of that when you're talking about people who might be appointed to cabinet positions that are contributing to what appears to be a GOP majority right now?
Right. Well, you know, the ultimate calculation we'll probably know in a matter of weeks. But anytime you take somebody who's a sitting member of the U.S. House of Representatives and place them into an administration position, you're looking at a special election, ostensibly. So if it's a safe seat, if it's a very red district, then that's probably not going to be a seat that Democrats have much hope of flipping, but you never know. And also, too, that's, you know, several months at least, Brian, that you're going to have a seat that is not filled. So in a way, that's kind of half a seat that you don't have. That's one more vote that you don't have on your side to tally if you've got something very, very close that is going through the House, a piece of legislation, and you need every vote. And we've seen many, many times this past 2 years with the Republicans just having that bare-bones majority that every vote can really count, especially if you've got something where you may bleed a couple of Republicans away from an issue where they're either going to vote present or vote with Democrats, and there's lots of different scenarios there to be had.
Election was a week ago, Dave. When will all of these House and Senate races be decided?
It could go still days or weeks, and we've seen this movie before, Susan, and you've got some races that are just incredibly, incredibly close. They are not only thousands of votes separating, but in a few cases, hundreds of votes separating. You've got recounts that can get triggered depending on the state laws in a particular state. You've got sometimes litigation that's going to be filed. So all of that has to play out in due course. And that's the reason why, especially on the House side, when you've got 435 different races, there's going to be a couple of those outliers where you just don't know until you know, and that process goes well, well beyond Election Day itself into some serious overtime that goes into November or December or even beyond. The Senate is much more of a clear picture at this point. Some of the final races that are still outstanding are being called. We had a big call in Arizona where Ruben Gallego is been called to defeat Carrie Lake, who's the Republican who's running there. So that's one pickup for the Democrats. But the House side is really where the action is and the uncertainty is more so than the Senate.
Well, we've had a week now to look at the fallout. What are we seeing? I mean, how are we expecting, and a lot of it's been focused on Democrats, I think kind of rightfully so, Dave, how are we expecting that party to change moving forward after suffering that big loss?
The Democrats are—they're doing soul searching. They're doing future planning. I mean, there's just an incredible amount of—I don't know if you want to call it chaos, but kind of controlled chaos of, well, where does this party go from here? What we know for sure, and I think one of the things that stands out the most is that millions and millions of voters who ostensibly would have voted for Democrats, they stayed home and they didn't vote. And that's a huge, huge number and an underappreciated one, I think, for the Democrats, that if you just look at the number of voters who voted for Joe Biden 4 years ago and the number of voters who voted for Kamala Harris this time around, in terms of just sheer popular vote numbers, there were millions fewer voters who voted for Kamala Harris. So that's something that the Democrats are going to have to reckon with. You can have the biggest budget in the world, and Kamala Harris had a financial advantage in her campaign relative to that of Donald Trump. But look, if you're selling, New Coke or Crystal Pepsi, you can have the biggest budget in the world, and if people aren't buying it, then it's not going to matter all that much, and that's what they're finding out right now. So retooling the product, so to speak, is going to be chief issue number one for the Democrats going forward from a political sense and from a legislative sense. Well, they got a big buzzsaw coming down Washington, D.C. right now, and if Republicans control both sides of Congress and the White House, which it appears is going to be the case, they've got a big problem, and they've got to figure out exactly what that means to them in terms of blocking the Trump agenda, which is going to be very, very difficult for them to do.
It seemed like there was a lot of split voting, too, where Democrats may have voted for a Democrat in Congress but did not go that way on the top of the ticket, clearly voting for Trump instead of Harris.
Absolutely, Susan. And we saw this in several states. Arizona is one of those states. Wisconsin was one of those states. And definitely you can point to House races across the country where there were split ticket voters. So often we see everything in just shades of blue and red. But that's not how all Americans think. And sometimes they're very willing to vote for somebody who they like to represent their district or their state. But they're not too keen on the person of the same party who's running on a national ticket, the presidential candidate, in this case, Kamala Harris. So as a result, we see kind of a new window into the American thought process in some of these very, very close districts. And that ended up being very much the reality after talking about it in kind of political theory terms for many, many months.
Hey, Dave, thank you. Dave Leventhal joining us, Washington Insider.